At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
A Factual Data Creation Facility production. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 239, which I'm calling Google Destruction Inbound. Okay, it's Helene, not Helena, as I referred to the previous big storm, which devastated a large portion of the southeastern United States. At least the latest storm, Mitch, didn't fully live up to its hype and spared some of the devastation it could have wrought. Hopefully, Mitch will be the last major storm of the hurricane season. But you never know. Well, last episode certainly tanked. I guess I've said things in previous episodes that upset some. Oh well. Stand by for more things to get upset about in this episode. Well, should I start the episode now?
Oh, yes.
All right. Let's go. Before I get into the news, I have some other things to discuss. Besides getting the name of a major hurricane wrong, I made another trip down to Tennessee last week. We left early Sunday morning and made good progress until we were midway through Virginia. There, we sat for almost 3 hours because of some sort of maintenance, which closed down westbound lanes of Interstate 81. And it wasn't road work. And how do I know this? That's because after letting the traffic flow again westbound, the powers that be promptly shut down the eastbound lanes of I-81. What I could see was a dump truck being loaded with something. Now you're probably thinking it was storm-related.
Wrong.
Well, Helene didn't have any effect on this part of Virginia, or any other part of that state we traveled through. My area of Tennessee had no damage either, though other parts of the county did. Hence, no water service for the area, including my home, for about 5 days. Our time in Tennessee had us witnessing military helicopters constantly flying overhead as the government finally responded to the destruction in North Carolina. We arrived back in New York Thursday, this after being stuck in traffic after clearing the final bridge into the area. It took us over 3 hours to travel the 38-mile distance to our place here. There were no accidents or roadworks causing these delays. Only good old New York traffic. Thank goodness we have only one or maybe two trips left before not having to make the trip up here at all. Tech news. From the Associated Press, federal judge orders Google to open its Android app store to competition, unquote. From the article, quote, a federal judge on Monday ordered Google to tear down the digital wall shielding its Android app store from competition as punishment for maintaining an illegal monopoly that helped expand the company's internet empire. The injunction issued by District Judge James Donato will require Google to make several changes that the Mountain View, California company had been resisting. Those include a provision that will require its Play Store for Android apps to distribute rival third-party app stores so consumers can download them to their phones if they so desire. The judge's order will also make the millions of Android apps in the Play Store accessible to rivals, allowing them to offer up a competitive selection. Unquote. Wow, the Big G must have gotten some powerful government entity really upset with them. The article continues, quote, Donato is giving Google until November.
What?
And that's this November, to make the revisions dictated in his order, unquote. Man, they must be really upset with Google.
Yeah, boy.
Again from the article, quote, Donato also ruled that for a period of 3 years ending November 1st, 2027, Google won't be able to share revenue from its Play Store with anyone who distributes Android apps or is considering launching an Android app distribution platform or store.
Huh?
It also won't be allowed to pay developers or share revenue so that they will launch an app in the Google Play Store first or exclusively, and can't make deals with manufacturers to pre-install the Google Play Store on any specific location on an Android device.
Wow.
It also won't be able to require apps to use its billing system.
Ouch.
Or tell customers that they can download apps elsewhere and potentially for cheaper.
What?
Unquote. Yeah, I'm not understanding that last part. So let me get this straight. So even if Google wanted to tell you that you can save money by downloading an app elsewhere, they can't? I guess the good judge put that in there to prevent Google from making a deal with another app store. Now, the way I understand it, if you're a hardware manufacturer and want to use Android as an operating system, well, there's just no problem. You can do so free of charge. However, if you want to receive timely updates for Android, you are required to have the Play Store along with the suite of Google services apps loaded on your device, and the Chrome browser, of course. I guess going forward, this won't be the case. Well, I can already hear the "What about Apple?" chorus. No one else manufactures devices that run iOS, so Apple isn't forcing any manufacturer to install anything. Besides, the EU forced Apple to allow rival app stores to be installed on iOS, and how did that turn out? Well, Apple put their high-paid and high-powered corporate lawyers to work, and they cooked up a way to both comply with the EU and actually maintain the amount of money they make on apps. Google is asking for a stay on implementing these judgments and will appeal the case. So in my opinion, nothing will change for a while. In the meantime, Google can find out who they upset and try to make amends. Hopefully resolving all this. But wait, it gets worse for the formerly Don't Be Evil company. Google has also been judged monopolist by a U.S. district court and has proposed a framework to correct Google's violation of antitrust laws. According to an article on AndroidAuthority.com, this framework would include breaking Android, Chrome, and Google Play away from Google. You know, I really do think that Google's search engine should be spun off from them. Not only does search allow the company to have a monopoly on advertising revenue, but they also use it to promote particular agendas and political ideologies. As for Android and the rest, let Google keep them. The judge really came down hard on the Big G, leading me to believe that he was a fellow Windows Phone user, which Google helped kill by not putting their apps on it. And, like me, is still upset about it. What's your opinion on all this? AndroidPolice.com has the following headline. Google kills project that would have made it easy to run Chrome OS on Android, unquote. The article goes into Google's introduction of the Ferrochrome project, which was revealed during the event for the Pixel 8 phone. This project, which is actually just some software code, would allow, or should I say would have allowed, Android phones to run a full version of Chrome OS on their phones. I must confess, this is the first time I've heard of this, and I did watch the event which launched the Pixel 8. I guess I just didn't remember it. Another piece of evidence that I'm really an old fart. Anyway, while reviewing the code for upcoming open source versions of Android, the launcher for Chrome OS app has been removed in a notation that the Big G won't ship nor maintain the code for it.
Aww.
What I gather from the article is that Chrome OS and Android was used as a testbed for development and that a Debian distro of Linux will be used for that purpose going forward. Well, after reading this, I thought it would be cool to be able to run a full-fledged computer operating system on a smartphone. Back in what I fondly recall as being the day, Being able to run a full computer operating system on a phone was a dream of Microsoft and eager tech-wise consumers. Well, I guess that dream is long gone. The way it was envisioned back then is that your phone would have everything you needed and you would just plug it into a larger screen via some sort of adapter when you got home or at the office in order to access your apps on a larger screen. Motorola and HP had products that did this with Android and Windows Phone, but it never caught on. With the tight integration of mobile and computer OSs these days, I guess this functionality is no longer needed. We have Windows and Android pretty much integrated these days, and of course iOS and macOS, which are designed that way to begin with. Maybe it's the old fart in me, but I'd still think it would be great to have a full computer OS running on my little smartphone. Reuters.com is reporting that rival browser developers Vivaldi, Waterfox, and Wavebox, and the Open Web Advocacy Group, have sent a letter to the EU antitrust regulators saying Microsoft's Edge browser is a de facto monopoly, being that it's pre-installed on Windows computers. And this after the incorrectly identified by the article's author, Norwegian browser company, the once great Opera, which had taken the EU to court for exempting Edge from the Digital Markets Act. Now hold on a minute. First off, Opera has been bought by a Chinese company, and that was years ago. Though the headquarters for Opera may still reside in Norway, everything is controlled from back in China. I remember reading articles which showed that Opera was reporting all the data back to China after this acquisition and was warned off from trusting it. Secondly, if you want to use a different browser, well, no one's stopping you from downloading it and making your choice the default. Sure, Microsoft does everything it can to hide this from you, but if you're aware of these other browsers, it's just a small bump in the road to get them onto your device. This consortium wants to force Microsoft to have some sort of pop-up menu during setup that gives you a choice of which browser to install. Well, guess what? Non-tech people, if given the choice, will choose what's familiar to them 99% of the time. The other 1% will choose something else by mistake. If they haven't heard of your browser before, what makes these companies think they will choose them over Edge? Hey, I have an idea. Make a web browser so good that it becomes immensely popular, and bingo, problem solved. I'm tired of companies like these that try and sue themselves into competitiveness. And, of course, that's just my opinion. From iHeart.com. Yeah, iHeart was the first article on the subject to pop up. Covered the recent Tesla introduction of the Cybercab. You know, last Thursday, while stuck for over 3 hours in New York traffic, I was lamenting to myself that I was probably never going to see a self-driving car in my lifetime, and how nice it would be to have one during the horrendous traffic jams like this that I was experiencing. Imagine my surprise while checking out YouTube on Friday. CNET had a short video on the introduction of the self-driving Cybercab. The video was kind of pessimistic about the projected 2027 release date of this steering wheel-less under $30,000 vehicle, but it did get my attention. Upon further research, all Tesla models will be capable of this self-driving ability in the future. The Cybercab is not for commercial use, but for individual use. It has room for 2 passengers, and old Elon Musk bragged that you can even rent it out when you're not using the car and make some extra money on the side. No thanks. Could you imagine your car returning to you trashed? A robo-van that seats 20 people was also showcased, but I don't know what non-commercial use it would have. If this self-driving thing becomes a reality, I'll certainly have one in my driveway as a backup to my main gas-powered vehicle for days I don't really feel like driving. I wouldn't use it for long-distance travel, though, and I certainly wouldn't store it in my garage. Distance limitations and spontaneous combustions are very real problems with lithium battery-powered vehicles at the moment. Apple continues to improve its iCloud.com webpage as it adds dark mode support and more customization options. And this is according to an article on 9to5Mac.com. iCloud.com allows you to access content from anywhere on any internet-connected device. It includes photos, iCloud Drive, notes, reminders, and Find My, amongst other things. Those other things being the company's productivity apps like Pages, Numbers, etc. You can customize backgrounds, have a shared view of iCloud Drive, pin notes, and other things I'll probably never use. Perhaps my dream of having a less expensive Chromebook instead of a MacBook as my laptop is becoming closer to reality. AndroidAuthority.com has an article chronicling users reporting that the Watch OS 11's Vital app has forewarned them of upcoming illnesses. Sounds like what my Aura Ring Generation 2 used to do. My current Generation 3 Aura Ring no longer does that. Maybe because at my age I feel like garbage every day.
Yes.
In order to get the benefits of the Vitals app, you have to wear your Apple Watch to bed for at least 5 nights in a row. And that's something I'm not willing to do. My lovely wife and I are upgrading to the latest Apple Watch in December, so I might give it a try. My Aura Ring 2 was uncanny at doing this, and I missed that function. Hopefully, Aura's new 4th generation ring has returned to this. My Aura 3 missed my bout with COVID a while ago, reporting that I was doing great when in actuality I was running a fever. The older version had warned me of oncoming illnesses even when I felt fine. 9to5Mac.com predicts that the most serious and powerful features of Apple Intelligence won't be coming until late 2026 or maybe even 2027.
What the hell?
This is what analysts believe is causing the sales numbers for the new iPhone 16 to stagnate. These analysts go on to predict that we won't be seeing an iPhone upgrade super cycle until the iPhone 17 thin, whatever that turns out to be. You know, I don't want a thinner iPhone. I want an iPhone with a longer-lasting battery, regardless of what AI it carries. This iPhone 17 thin better be mind-blowing, because if it's not, well, I'll be keeping my 15 Pro Max for yet another year. Another week, another big hack job. 9to5Mac.com has an article detailing the recent hack of MoneyGram, which is an alternative to Western Union for sending money. The hacker stole MoneyGram's customers' social security numbers, email, home addresses, dates of birth, copies of government-issued IDs, and other documentation, including utility bills and bank account numbers.
What?
Yeah, everything needed for ID theft and other scams. Since the hack, MoneyGram has hired external cybersecurity experts.
Yay!
Better late than never?
No.
Not in this case. Some 50 million saps, I mean people, use MoneyGram worldwide. Yep, they're cheaper to use than Western Union, but you know the old saying, you get what you pay for.
Yes.
At this point, I'd suggest everybody freeze their credit records with the credit bureaus. I did so after a rash of attempts to obtain credit cards using my hacked info a couple of years back. Since I did that, no attempts have been successfully made. It's a pain in the butt having to unfreeze and refreeze your records when applying for loans, but let me tell you, it's worth it. Tech I'm using. No new hardware to talk about, but I do have a piece of software that I've had for a while and that I've just started using once again. In a previous episode, I mentioned that while viewing various tech news feeds using the Edge browser, yeah, I really do use Edge, I went through a period of researching Chromebooks. After a while, my news feeds contained a bevy of articles about Google's thin client operating system and its hardware. Not only that, I also started being bombarded with advertisements for Chromebooks. At a time, I said I would switch browsers to see if the Edge browser was scraping my data, which of course it was. I remember downloading and briefly using an old-timey RSS news reader for iOS and iPad OS called NetNewsWire RSS Reader. The news reader is free with no in-app purchases needed and has an easy-to-use interface. I never bothered to download the iPad version, but I since have. To set NetNewsWire up, you just add the websites you want to receive news from. It's as simple as that. I still use Edge for news reading, but dramatically less. The only reason I even use Edge is because once in a while, there'll be an interesting story that wasn't picked up by NetNewsWire. My routine is to peruse my feed on the app daily, then forward the link to the story I want to use to myself via email. Stories that I don't wish to cover, I just conveniently ignore and then delete using the app's mark all as read button. This handy little RSS reader has streamlined my workflow, making it easier to gather news than it had been previously. Now, if you run iOS or iPad OS on your devices and want an easy way of keeping up on tech or any other type of news, I recommend this app. Oh, and did I mention that the app is free?
Yes.
Hey, remember when Google had the most popular news reader called Google Reader?
No.
Yes?
And do you remember Google discontinuing it in 2015?
Yes.
No.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Entertainment news. Popular TV stars on notice as industry is warned of a major shakeup. And that's the headline of an article from thedailymail.com. These air quote stars that are on notice come from the news and late night shows whose audiences continue shrinking while their salaries keep ballooning into millions of dollars. The article primarily blames the advertisement industry. But the big problem is that nobody is actually watching these shows. The question should be, why isn't anybody watching? I think the main reason amongst the many is that the news media doesn't deliver factual news and the entertainment media doesn't entertain. The article goes on to predict that these so-called stars will either have to take a major pay cut or be replaced altogether. Those predicted to be affected are a who's who's list of television personalities. These people pull in between $20 to $30 million per year.
What?
Whoa!
Just to helm their respective money-losing shows. I find these salaries disgustingly absurd, being that these are the same people who toe the Democratic Party line, receiving their talking points directly from the DNC, as has been revealed in multiple undercover interviews with producers from these shows. Of course, the economy is doing just great for these overpaid shills, so that's what they tell you. The unwashed masses on their platforms. The once vibrant late-night shows, once the bastion of comedy, have become unfunny. What they call humor now is making fun of Republican politicians and their followers, which amount to about half the country, instantly limiting their potential audience. I've got to believe that many audience members that are on the DNC side of things have gotten tired of this one-sided tirade from all corners of corporate media, and that reduces the audience numbers even further. If the anointed one manages to stumble into the White House, well, expect more of the same, with some heavy censorship applied to independent media on social platforms. At least these media shills will be following their marching orders at reduced salaries, so there's that. But unfortunately, their masters still pay very well for towing the party line. According to the tinfoil hat wearers, it's all part of the plan.
Yes! Yes.
Podcast news. Previously, I've discussed my love-hate relationship with the podcast listening app, Castomatic. Well, I'm in a hate phase at the moment, and it's because of Castomatic's inability to work properly while using Apple's CarPlay. For some reason, Castomatic just doesn't want to function correctly. For example, you can fire up the app in the car, select the playlist you want, start the episode you want, and start driving. After the episode you selected finishes, Castomatic just stops playing unless you manually select the next episode. And that's while you're driving. And this is dangerous because you have to pick up your phone, swipe to the app, find the show and episode you want to play next, and then push play. Yeah, you can attempt to do this using your car's display screen, but nothing happens. Even if you manage to do all this without getting into an accident, After the next episode is finished, well, you have to repeat the whole process in order to replay the next episode. Also, if you happen to stop somewhere and turn off your car, the episode you are listening to either won't continue playing, and that's forcing you to select and start it again from the phone, or if you restart the episode, it will start at the beginning, losing its place. And this can't be blamed on CarPlay, because the next app that I'm going to discuss has absolutely no problems, and that app is Amazon's Music and Podcast app. On that app, you load what podcast you want to listen to in a preset list, and it just works. During my last drive down to Tennessee last week, I used Amazon Music and had absolutely no problems with it. Lately, I've been listening to a podcast called Malevolent, whose first episode was released way back in 2020 and is still releasing new episodes to this day. I just started listening to that podcast a couple of weeks ago, so I had a lot of catching up to do. And that's to say the least. The Amazon Music app played each episode in order and started back up after stops right where the episode left off. Now imagine that. And that was all without intervention from me. Until Castomatic fixes its CarPlay compatibility, I'll be using the Amazon Music and Podcast app while in my car. As an added bonus, Amazon has a deal with various podcasts to be ad-free, and Malevolent is one of them. For regular listening that is not involving CarPlay, Castomatic is superior. Well, while attempting to open the Castomatic app on my iPhone, I found out that it just crashes. Well, I don't know if crash is the correct term. The app doesn't even open up, it just flashes. I'm chalking this up to me running the iOS 18.1 beta. The lone dev of the app probably hasn't gotten around to updating it yet. So for now, I'll be using the tried-and-true Pocket Cast app for my non-driving listening app. I'll keep Castomatic around if it ever gets fixed, that is. The music is playing, and the end of this episode of the OFNT podcast is nigh. Not many New York recorded episodes are left as the end of an era approaches. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Now, what are you still poking around here for? I finished this episode in order to get some much-needed rest. So, get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.